Welcome back. This is Chicken Philosophy, The Secret of the Golden Flower, Part 3. And I'm your host for today, Fredder BT, which rhymes with 3. If you would like to start at the beginning, you can click here, and that's the playlist for the Secret of the Golden Flower series on Chicken Philosophy. For those on the audio-only podcast, I'm mostly talking to the YouTube folks when I say click here, specifically. But the rest of this is for you, just as much as it's for anyone else. So, did you happen to catch the previous one? By that I mean, what was it? Martin Luther, Part 6? I'll point to it. It might be a stretch to say it's worth it. I mean, I try to honestly, if I say, hey, check this out, you know, then you can trust that I mean it. And, you don't need to check it out. what happened was, we went up north to North Goa. And these days, for those who knew me back in the day, you might have noticed that between the years of, well, okay, there was a long period of time where I was doing a little bit of the cannabis self-medication. It was California, so back then it was, you needed a doctor's note. Anyway, quite a bit, but I'm not anymore very often, only sometimes, like twice a month. And so, yeah, so for like 2 or 3 days, I was kind of like, ooh, and I thought, you know, it'd be funny is to have Pymander and Gwydion, and Gwydion and Pymander isn't there, and Gwydion has to invoke him, and I had this whole wacky idea. And then the drive, I mean, we had to stop somewhere along the way, so it's like killer hot. I mean, it's not like 120, 48. It's not like that. But it's like in the 90s or 30s. I'm talking in Celsius and Fahrenheit. And humid. And if you haven't noticed, my complexion was designed by nature to be ideal for, let's say, northern climes. And I mean north of North Goa. You know what I'm saying? And so I was like, yeah, I got home to here where I'm sitting talking to you. And I was kind of like, ooh, I'm out of it. You know, kind of like, ah. And Pew, that's my wife, was like, do you want to take a nap? And I was like, I want to record first. So what you saw was the fruit of all that. The wacky idea had by that me, performed by that me. And so now you know why it was the way it was. It was fine. I enjoyed it on its own level. Gwydion became a bodhisattva. All right, but enough about yesterday's. And I figure even though I've been alternating Buddhist books and Chicken Philosophy since Gwydion read for like 45 minutes the Bodhisattva vows, spoiler. I allowed myself to skip one Buddhist books. Okay, I thought of something, and I was sober when I thought of it. The Secret of the Golden Flower, right, is generally speaking Taoist alchemy. A bit of yoga and a bit of Buddhism thrown in for good measure, right? So I thought, hey, wouldn't it be fun? Because, you know, we've been doing the rune at the beginning of Soxie Says Hi. That's the dog. We've been doing the rune at the beginning of Carl Jung. So why not? This is another thing I never really dove into. And I have these two old antique Chinese coins somewhere, but I don't know where. So what I did was I got these yuan coins,
which, if you've ever been to China or had someone come back from China and be like, hey, check out these coins, or if you're from China, then you're like, hey, that's a yuan. Yes, yes it is. So I think that, correct me if I'm wrong, legitimately, if I'm getting any of this wrong, because I'm a total, like, ignoramus here. And that's kind of the point of chicken philosophy. It's like the idiot abroad, an idiot abroad. Have you ever seen that? Anyway, this is an idiot abroad in books of knowledge. See, I spent like 40 years playing video games and fucking around on Facebook and then decided, hey, I should be a guy who reads, and then got a bunch of books. And then I wasn't reading them, so I was like, hey, I've got an idea. Well, actually, first I was like, hey, I've got an idea. I'll start Buddhist Books Podcast and read all this Buddhist scripture that I collected. And then I did that for like 2 years, and then I was like, but what about all these books? So I started Chicken Philosophy. There you go, the origin story. So what I'm going to do is, if they're both, I guess, heads, if they both are on the one side, or they both are on the flower side, then I'm going to call that an unbroken line. But if it's one is one and the other is the other, then I'm going to call that a broken line. And we're going to flip it 6 times. And then I'm going to read to you about the I Ching symbol. And I'm going to put it somewhere up here. Yeah, we'll put it up there somewhere. Here we go. Okay. Do I just do this? I don't know. I'll mix it up a little bit. And just for maximum noise, I'll drop it on the same table where the microphone is. And okay, we got an unbroken line. So we'll start at the top with an unbroken line. I mean, with a broken line. Sorry, broken, unbroken. Okay, number two. Flip one, flip the other, and broken again. All right. Let's try. And three broken. Some magnet. And oh, they're both flowers. Unbroken. So there's, if my math is correct, 4 different possible things that it could be. I think. 1, 2, never mind. And they're both ones, so we got another unbroken. One more to go. Now it's down to 2. And it's gonna be 2 flowers. Straight line. So we got 3 broken and 3 unbroken. Now, if it takes me a very long time to find it, then through the magic of computer editing, we can skip to when I find it. All right, here we are. So the top 3, broken, means earth. The bottom 3, unbroken, means heaven. And so the figure, the I Ching symbol figure, is called Tai, T'AI, or peace. Well, that's cool. Seems like a good place to start. Heaven exists on earth for those who maintain correct thoughts and actions. Hey, I like it. I like it. Good enough. I'm not going to read this whole thing. But cool. Let's make it small and put it in this area where the rune goes. Nice. Okay, Editor Edward, you know what to do. I wonder what he's going to play. Okay, so now we're reading good old Wilhelm. You remember in like 1929, Wilhelm something sent Carl Jung The Secret of the Golden Flower. Carl Jung was like, oh my god, this totally fits with
what I've been doing in my active imagination experiment on myself. This helps to explain it. I'm not crazy. I'm just Chinese. Or whatever his response was back in this episode of Carl Jung's Black Books. If you want to, if you're interested in that, you can click that. Okay, so now we have Wilhelm's, like, talking about the secret of the golden flower. And maybe today? I don't know. But eventually, if not today, then definitely next time, part four, we'll get to the actual secret of the golden flower. Origin and contents of the Thai T apostrophe AI. That's this. What? Origin, is that the name of, maybe that's the real name of this. Origin and contents of the Thai I Ching Hua Tsung Chi. I think that Thai, this, is in the title. Title. I should have known. Origins of the book. One. Origins of the book. The book comes from an esoteric circle in China. For a long time, it was transmitted orally. You know what else is transmitted orally? Herpes and mono and a number of other things. All right. Herpes simplex A, obviously. Continuing. For a long time, it was transmitted orally. Yes, we read that already. BT, keep going. And then in writing. The first printing is from the Qianlong period, parentheses 18th century, end parentheses. Finally, 1,000 copies of it were reprinted in Peking, also known as Beijing, or it was renamed, you know, in 1920, together with the Huimingqing, and were distributed among a small group of people who, in the opinion of the editor, understood the questions discussed. I think he's the editor. So according to this German guy, these Chinese people knew what they were talking about when they were talking about this Chinese stuff. Wow, I have opinions too. Are they as valid as Wilhelm's? Yeah. And we're distributed, yes. That is how, unless he's like got a PhD in woo-woo. That is how I was able to get a copy. What is how? Because they, okay. The new printing and circulation of the little book was due to a religious reawakening growing out of the exigencies of the political and economic conditions in China. There have been formed a series of secret sects, S-E-C-T-S, sorry, I got too excited about that, whose effort is to achieve, by the practice of secret traditions from ancient times, a state of the psychic lifting them above all the mystery of life. A state of the psyche lifting above, yes, all the misery of life. I can read. Okay. The methods used are magical writing, prayer, sacrifice, etc. If sacrifice is on a list of three, what's in the etc.? My God. Okay. And in addition to these mediumistic seances, widely prevalent in China, by means of which direct connection with the gods and the dead is sought. Experiments are also made with the planchette. What's a planchette? It is a curious fact that the man who circulated this text had written for him by the planchette a preface by Lu Tzu, an adept of the Tang dynasty, to whom these teachings are accredited. However, this preface deviates very widely from the thoughts given in the book, It is flat and meaningless, like the majority of such productions. Oh, in the opinion of the one with the great opinions. Woo-wee! Sorry. We're here. The flying spirit pencil, as the Chinese call it. But side by side with these practices, there exists an esoteric movement which has devoted itself with energy to the psychological method that is meditation or the practice of yoga. The followers of this method, in contradistinction to the European yogis, in quotes or apostrophes, to whom these Eastern practices are only a form of sport, achieve almost without exception the central experience. Thus it can be said that, as far as the Chinese psyche is concerned, a completely assured method of attaining definite psychic experiences is available. I got, if you're wondering why I'm blinking or my eye is turning red, I decided foolishly to put rose cross oil, which is like two parts amber oil, one part rose oil, here before, because it goes with the outfit. Because like this stuff is in a box that's a very nice box, but it smells funny. So I decided to take myself away from like that vinegary smell and toward the rose cross oil smell. But I think that the concentration of essential oil in the oil that I used to use when I would put it on my forehead back in the temple days, I think the concentration is higher, and it's hot, so I'm sweating, and so a little bit of sweat filled with like rose and amber essential oil got into my eye. Isn't that fun? Aren't you glad you're on that side of the screen watching it instead of on this side of the screen experiencing it? One more thing to be grateful for. You're welcome. Okie dokie. Thus, it can be said that as far as the Chinese psyche is concerned, a completely assured method of attaining definite psychic experiences is available. We read that already. Parentheses. It must be noted that, as C.G. Jung very correctly points out, the Chinese mentality, at least up to very recent times, has been essentially different in some fundamental respects from that of the Europeans. End parentheses. So Wilhelm agrees with Carl Jung's statement. I'll keep reading. It's old. Besides the release from the fetters of an illusionary outer world, every Chinese person walking around knows that matter is an illusion. Anyway, there are many other goals striven for by the different sects. Those on the highest level use this release by meditation for the purpose of seeking the Buddhist nirvana. Or, as for example in the present book, they teach that by the union of the spiritual principle in men to the correlated psychogenic forces, one can prepare for the possibility of the life after death. Not merely as a shadow being doomed to dissolution, but as a conscious spirit. It seems like a nice way of putting something that is like a fear motivator. Like, you'd better come to temple and do your meditation or else you're not going to be conscious in the afterlife. Maybe not. In addition, and often in connection with this idea, there are schools of thought which try by means of this meditation to exert a psychic influence on certain processes of the sympathetic nervous system. Parentheses, as Europeans, we would speak here of the endocrine glandular system. End parentheses. This influence strengthens, rejuvenates, and normalizes the life processes so that even death will be overcome in such a way that it fits in as a harmonious ending to life. That is to say, this spiritual principle, now fitted for an independent continuation of life in the spirit body, created out of its own energy system, deserts the earthly body, which remains behind as a drying shell like that shed by a cicada. Why don't you just try accepting Jesus Christ as your personal savior, huh? Instead of messing around with all this mumbo jumbo. I know you're waiting for me to say just kidding. Am I, though? Alright, anyway. The lower strata of these sects, S-E-C-T-S, have sought in this way to acquire magic powers, the ability to expel evil spirits and diseases, and here talismans, oral and written charms play their part. This sort of thing may lead to occasional mass psychoses, which then work themselves out in religious or political unrest, as shown, for example, in the Boxer Movement. Recently, the ever-present syncretistic tendency of Taoism has been shown in the fact that within such organizations, members of all the five world religions, Confucianism, Taoism, Buddhism, Mohammedanism, and Christianity, even Judaism, comes in occasionally for special mention, end quote. Are included without having to break away from their respective religious congregations. Okay, for the Dune fans, it's sort of like saying the five great works of science fiction. Isaac Asimov's Foundation, Star Wars, Star Trek, and the Dune prequel House Atreides, and the Dune, like, way back prequel, The Butlerian Jihad. Even Dune by Frank Herbert comes in for special mention occasionally. Okay, all right, I just had to get that off my chest. You know what I'm saying? Never mind. Okay, having thus briefly described the background out of which such movements have grown up in our time, a word must be said as to the sources from which the teachings of the present book arise. Very remarkable discoveries come to light, and we find that these precepts are much older than their written form. The Tai Yi Chin Hua Tsung Chi can be traced back to the 17th century as having been printed from wooden tablets. The editor describes having found an incomplete copy dating from that time in the Liu Li Chang, the old street of dealers in books and antiquities in Peking, and tells how he filled it out later from a friend's book. But the oral tradition goes back even further than that, to the religion of the golden elixir of life, Qin Tan Qiao, which developed in the Tang period in the 18th century. The founder is said to have been the well-known Taoist adept Lu Yan, or Lu Tongpin, counted later by folklore as one of the eight immortals, without whom in the course of time a rich store of myths has gathered. About whom? This sect like all religions, native and foreign, those describe the two types of people that, like, red state Americans tend to hate. It's native and foreign, right? Which sounds like a paradox, because if you're not native, then you're foreign. No, no. If you're an American, you're neither native nor foreign. Figure that logic out. By that, I mean the MAGA hat wearing variety. Okay. I know, I shouldn't get political. I never get political. What are we doing? Who are we? Where are we? What are we doing? Met with tolerance and in favor of the Tang period and spread widely, but as it was always an esoteric and secret religion, in the course of time it began to suffer persecution because of members being suspected of political intrigues. Oh, I was expecting something involving a goat. Again and again, its adherents were persecuted by a hostile government. Lastly, in an extremely cruel way by the Manchus, just before their own fall. In the year 1891, 15,000 members were killed by the Manchu airlines. Why did you put the footnote after their own fall? That's not about their own fall, that's about the fall. Never mind. Many members have turned to the Christian religion. And all, even if they have not actually entered the church, are very friendly towards it. Yeah, this again is old. They've had a few changes in China since, like, what, 1930 or whenever this intro was written. Our book gives the best available account of the religion of the golden elixir of life. The sayings are attributed to Lu Yen, whose other name was Lu Tongpin, I mentioned that, or Lu, the guest of the cavern. In the book, he is introduced as the patriarch Lu Tzu. He lived at the end of the 8th and the beginning of the 9th century. A later commentary on his sayings has been added, but it springs from the same tradition. Whence did Lu get his esoteric secret lore? He himself attributes its origin to Quan Yin Hsi, the master Yin Hsi of the Pass, Quan, i.e. Hankou Pass, for whom, according to tradition, Lao Tzu wrote down his Tao Te Ching. Are you familiar with Tao Te Ching? I mean, it's kind of silly for me to be jumping over Tao Te Ching and getting into this stuff. But I am a silly person. I also skipped over the Bible and went straight to Teilhard de Chardin and Martin Luther, so sue me. All right. But with Carl Jung, I'm doing the opposite. I'm starting with, like, I am 2 years old. My name is Carl Jung. I had a freaky nightmare and I think I'm the devil. So that we can watch him gradually grow into the Carl Jung that many know and love, but I'm only peripherally familiar with. Where were we? As a matter of fact, I don't know, I just started reading somewhere. There are to be found in the system a great many thoughts taken from the esoteric veiled mystical teaching in the Tao Te Ching. For example, the gods in the valley are identical with the valley spirit of Lao Tzu. But while Taoism degenerated more and more in the Han period into an external wizardry, owing to the fact that the Taoist court magicians were seeking to find by alchemy the golden pill, parentheses, the philosopher's stone, end parentheses. Should have asked Nick Farrell. I mean, he's over at Hogwarts right now. Which would create gold out of the baser metals and lend men physical immortality. Lu Yen's movement represented a reform. The alchemistic signs became symbols of psychological processes. In this respect, there was a close approach to the original ideas of Lao Tzu. The latter, however, was altogether a free spirit, and his follower, Chuangzi, or Zhu, scorned, I'm sure whatever I say when I'm reading phonetic approximations of Chinese is going to be incorrect, so just go with it, scorned all the hocus-pocus of yoga practice, nature healers, and seekers after the elixir of life, although he himself, of course, also practiced meditation, and by means of it attained that intuition of unity upon which was founded his later intellectually developed system. In Luyan, there was a certain faith, a religious trend, which, stimulated by Buddhism, convinced him of the illusory quality of all external things, but in a way clearly different from Buddhism. He seeks with all his might the fixed pole in the flight of phenomena, where the adept can attain eternal life. A thought absolutely foreign to Buddhism, that's true, which denies any substance to the ego. Yes, it denies substance to the Greek word that Freud bastardized in the 19th century. No, I know what they mean. Still, nevertheless, the influence of Mahayana Buddhism, which at that time dominated thought in China, is not to be underrated. Buddhist sutras are cited time and again. In our text, indeed, this influence is even greater than can be assumed to have been the case in the Chin Tan Chiao religion of the Golden Elixir of Life in general. In the second half of the third section, explicit reference is made to the known method as fixing contemplation. To the method known as fixing contemplation. Fixating! Contemplation, or Qi Quan. And the latter is a purely Buddhist method which was practiced in the Tian Tai school. Keep getting Tai, T apostrophe AI, this school of Qi Kai. From this point on, I'm just curious. Oh boy, I thought I was going to be able to finish this today. I don't want to make this like super long. We just had a long one yesterday. that's what she said. From this point on, I'm not going to read anymore. I'm going to pick up where I left off next time, and I'll just have to figure out where I was. I don't have a little sticky sticker arrow pointy thingy. Maybe I'll find one later. So that's today's reading. And I hope you enjoyed it, and we're a little bit closer, and I don't know if we're actually going to get to the actual translation next time. We might just be finishing Wilhelm's introduction, Richard Wilhelm, next time. I don't know. But nonetheless, whoever's watching, may the blessings of Tai, be upon you. Peace. Shalom. Salam me. No. So. You know what I mean. Shanti. Om Shanti. Shanti, Shanti. Okay. I guess that's it. I had that little Chinese temple. I'll bring it over next time. And, okay. Alright, I guess that's it for today. Unless in the very last moments before I do this, I think of something to say. Oh, since we're on the subject, indirectly,